The First Testament lesson is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 8 to 13, and may be found on page 3 in your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." The word of the Lord.
Today is the second of our five sermons on the five-part story. Last week, the first part of the five-part story was God loves the world, and we talked about four ways in which God pours forth God's love for us so that we know we are loved. This week's is we wander far from God. So, we are looking at the Gospel of John, the first 11 verses in the 8th chapter. It's a story, by the way, that is only found in the Gospel of John and is perhaps one of the most famous out of this book. So let us listen to the word of the Lord. While Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, early in the morning he came again to the temple. All the people came to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery. And making her stand before all of them, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?" They said this to test him, so that they might have some charge to bring against him. Jesus bent down and wrote with his finger on the ground. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let anyone among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." And once again, he bent down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they went away, one by one, beginning with the elders. And Jesus was left alone with the woman standing before him. Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." The word of the Lord. 32 years separated 1977 and 2009. And that 32 years was the difference between when I joined the Peace Corps in 1977 and when our daughter joined the Peace Corps in 2009. Now, what's interesting about that is that much of the training we went through was exactly the same. 5 to 6 days a week, 8 hours a day, doing language training, because we were both learning languages that we had never studied ever before. Then you had time spent on cultural literacy, because there were things that we Americans do that would have offended people in our host countries, And there were things that they do that would offend us unless we understood why they did them. So then there was also the food. You had to learn about the food because the food was definitely different. But what we discovered about my daughter's training was there was one thing she was trained in that I was not. And that was landmine and unexploded ordnance training. Our daughter went to Cambodia. And in Cambodia today, there are between 4 and 6 million undiscovered and unexploded landmines and what they call UXOs, unexploded ordnance. And so they had to go through a training, and they brought in someone who was part of an NGO who sort of taught them about this, and this is the way my daughter describes it. The training was pretty basic. Don't walk across fallow fields where there are no cattle or people walking on them. Don't go down paths or roads that, well, look abandoned. If you see a mine or an UXO, call the trainers, call the organization, tell someone in the village. Keep kids away from unexploded ordnances. Don't let them touch them. Ask the elders in the village where you're moving about landmines and where not to go. And if you see a sign saying, don't go down this path with a big landmine on it, don't go there. But as she says, those signs were few and far between. And at the very end of the training, they put up a big map of Cambodia and showed in bright red where the most dangerous areas filled with landmines were. And her village was right in the middle of the biggest one. So she figured she better pay attention to this training. So why am I talking about landmines and UXOs, unexploded ordnances, this morning? Because for me, that's one of those vivid images of why we ought to stay on the right path, why we ought to stay on the safe path instead of wandering far from God. Because what Scripture teaches us is that when we sort of wander off the path that God has set for us, off into fallow fields where there's no people or animals, down, you know, not so often trod paths, there are landmines and UXOs just waiting to explode. Let me explain. In the Scriptures, one of the most commonly used images is that God sets out a path for human beings. And this path is a path that leads to life and to fullness and to joy. It's a path that if we are willing to follow it, it doesn't guarantee that bad things won't happen. It doesn't guarantee that life will be perfect. But what it says is that even in the midst of difficult times, we will find this life and hope that we desire, that we long for. And in the Old Testament, that path is defined by the Torah, the law of Moses. The law of Moses is not just rules and regulations. It is literally the guidance of a path where one learns to love God and love neighbor and love self. The path in the New Testament is defined by the life and work of Jesus, who, when asked to sort of sum up the law, sums up what that path looks like. It is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. Love God, love neighbor, love self. That this is the path that God has laid out for humanity. And if we walk that path and we don't sort of stray off, then life will be rich and full. Now, the problem is, though, we human beings have this nasty tendency to not stay on the path. We have this tendency to sort of hear the voices calling us down into those fallow fields and those paths with the signs on them, and we wander off and things happen. And if you want to see this, it's in both of our stories this morning. I'm just going to highlight the first, and that is the famous Adam and Eve story, right? And I know I heard somebody in the choir, somebody, saying, yeah, it's always the woman's fault. But if you actually go to the story, it's Adam who is told by God, don't eat of this tree. Eve's not even there when that happens. But they both essentially know that they can do anything, eat anything, go anywhere. Just don't eat of the fruit of this tree. And so what do? They wander off. They see the sign, don't touch. Kind of like our kids, don't touch. And they see it, and it looks good, and it looks wonderful, and they both eat. They don't love God by listening and following. And so what happens? Suddenly you have these landmines and UXOs exploding all around them. There was fear. They became afraid of God. There was shame. They became shame because they were naked. There was blame. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the snake. And suddenly all the relationships between Adam and Eve and each other and God and creation, it just all gets, it explodes. So I was trying to think this week about how to talk about this in a way that sort of engages all of us here this morning. What do those landmines and UXOs look like out in the world? Where do we step off the path? And what I decided to do was go back to last week. Now, for those of you who weren't here last week, we talked about God loves the world, and that there were these four things that God gives to us as a demonstration of God's love. And I changed one of them from last week, but the idea is the same. And so what we're given is we're given creation, we're given community, we're given leisure, and we're given love. Creation, community, leisure, and love. We're given creation that is to sustain us. We're given community to support us and undergird us. We're given leisure so we can enjoy those things. And we're given love. God pours God's love into us so that that love can be poured out for others. And each of these is given to us as a way of helping us love God, love neighbor, and love self. Loving God, we are to care for creation. Loving neighbor, we are to be in community. Loving self, we're to take some leisure time, and then we're simply to let God's love within us. But the problem is that we take each of those, and we either take them for granted, or we abuse them, or we believe somehow that they're just for us. And when we do those things, then suddenly life explodes, not just around us individually, but us as humanity, the collective of human beings. So let's look at creation. Creation has been given to us. There's air to breathe. There's water to drink. There are fertile fields that can be farmed from which we can draw sustenance in our lives. There are lakes and rivers and oceans that we can fish in. I mean, creation's been given as this gift, and yet what have we done with it? What have we really done with it? We've stripped off forests off of hillsides throughout the world. We have poured chemicals into the waters. We have shot pollutants up into the air. And when we do those things, when we don't treat this gift of God's creation as we should, suddenly the UXOs and the landmines begin to explode. It's asthma for children in inner cities because of the stuff in the air. It's mercury poisoning in fish. Someone was telling me that there's some rivers and lakes that you can't eat the fish out of because the mercury levels are too high. There's stuff that gets poured into the river. My favorite example of this is that the huge rains that some people argue come from as part of the whole issue of global warming, these huge storms washed fertilizers out of fields in the Midwest, down the Mississippi, out into the Gulf of Mexico, and it has formed these algae blooms that have closed beaches and killed not just fish and shrimp, but all sorts of other sea life and put thousands of people out of work. You know, see, these are the UXOs that explode when we fail to treat God's creation as we should. Then there's community. As I said, community is given so that we can support one another, that life is better together. But instead, sometimes of using community, whether it's this community or the larger community, as being supportive of each other, what we've done is we've become tribal. We've become tribal. My tribe is better than your tribe. My tribe's superior to your tribe. My tribe can enslave your tribe. My tribe can oppress your tribe. My tribe can eliminate your tribe. And when we do that, the UXOs of war, violence, sexism, racism, homophobia, all of these begin exploding around us, and instead of bringing us together as community, it divides us again. Because we haven't let community live the way God intends it to live, as a gift of love. Leisure. God wants us to rest. Now, in Japan, there is an interesting word in Japanese called karoshi. Any of you know what karoshi is? Okay. I see at least one hand back there. Two hands. Karoshi is a Japanese word for working oneself to death. That this is an issue in Japan. That people literally work themselves to death. But guess what, folks? We're number one. Americans, we work more hours than the Japanese on average. Sometimes we work all of these hours because we think it makes us great, or maybe we're afraid that if we don't, we'll lose our job, or maybe someone is making us work all of these hours without rest and leisure. But when we do, when we work ourselves to death, that's literally what we do. The UXOs and the landmines that explode around us are depression. Our heart health declines. Our health declines. There's fear. There's early death. We literally work ourselves into the grave, which is not what God desires for us. God desires leisure. And finally, there's love. This is the love, we talked about it, love in, love out last week, Lilo, that God pours love in, and we are to let that love flow out of us. But what happens is that some of us block the entrance. We turn off the spigot, and we don't let God's love flow in. And others of us, because we don't think we're worthy of God's love, we don't think God could love us as we are, and so we shut it off. Or maybe it's that we shut off the outflow so that that love that God has poured into us, we think it's only for us. It's only for us. We're the only ones that deserve it. And what happens is the UXOs, the landmines there, are depression, jealousy, fear, isolation, all of these things that slowly tear us down, none of which God desires for us, which is why God pours God's love out into us. Now, I don't want you to go away depressed. Okay? Because when we look at this, we'll look at sort of this, the way humanity is, right? I mean, turn on the news, read your news feeds, talk to friends and relatives, and And how many of you have seen or read about at least one of these ways we wander off the path of God this week? Right? But I don't want you to go away, this is so awful. And I don't for two reasons. The first is that this is the second part of the five-part story. Remember, the first part of the five-part story, the foundation of the five-part story, is not us wandering far from God. It is God loves the world. It is God loves us. The second reason I don't want you to go away depressed is because this is the second part of the five-part story, and there are three more parts. And each of those parts, we're going to talk about how God brings us back on the path, how God brings us back into that amazing love and onto that path where we can find the fullness of life and hope and joy. And so this is never the last word. Which finally brings me to the second story we read this morning. And that is the woman caught in adultery. This woman has wandered off the path, and the landmine for her is that she has been publicly humiliated and shamed. But the flip side of the story is that those who brought her, they wandered off the path as well, because they didn't love neighbor. They intentionally caught her in this act to humiliate her and to test Jesus. But in the end, the final word of this story is not you're condemned. It is not you should be ashamed. It is not you're an awful person. It is you are forgiven. You are forgiven. Do better tomorrow. And that's why we have a prayer of confession, as Joanne said, every week. It's our opportunity to acknowledge where we individually and collectively have stepped off the path of God. We've wandered away. But it's always there that God's forgiveness is present and ready for us. So now, in your bulletin is your weekly sticky note. Everybody should have a sticky note in your bulletin. Here's what I'd like you to do with it this week. Last week, you were to write down one of those four ways where you could look at every day and remember that God loves you. This week, I want you to write down one of those four ways where maybe you've wandered off the path. Maybe you really haven't cared for creation as much as you should. Maybe you've been more tribal than community-oriented. Maybe you haven't been doing self-care. Maybe you haven't been letting God's love in you and flow out of you. So I want you to think about that and then write that down so that, and put it again with the other one. And this week, as you look at them both, remember that the foundation is God loves you. And that there's work I need to do. Let us pray. Gracious God, thank you for your love that encompasses us all, that calls us, that forgives us, that renews us. Help us to be those who stay on the path, that we might find the love and life you give. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.